Brandon Sewell. I am the owner of Seal Pro Painting in Central Florida and the host of the Off the Ladder podcast. We exist to help home service business owners learn so that they can lead well and ultimately live life off of the ladder. Today's guest is Tom Reber. Many of you have probably heard of him. He is the founder of The Contractor Fight. He started a massive community online where he's reached thousands of home service business owners and contractors alike from all over the world. He's also the author of Winning the Contractor Fight, host of HGTV's Unfinished Business, and he is helping thousands of contractors worldwide. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Tom.
It's great to be here, Brandon. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
Hat tip to you for starting a podcast, man. I always get fired up when I see guys start shows, and I know the work that goes into it, and not everyone has the stomach for it, if you want to call it that. So it's cool to see you doing this, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I it's funny you say that, because I had so many guys, mentors who told me not to do it. You know, they're like, oh, you know, it's going to take so much time away from your business. You know, it's just a distraction. And I was like, you know what? It's what I want to do. What I found with it is, man, it's amazing being able to talk to all the different home service business owners that I've had on here as guests already. And it's like every episode is like a coaching session for me too, because I learn so much from everybody who's on here. So it's been a lot of fun to do. It is a lot of work, way more work than I thought it was going to be initially. But it's still fun. I enjoy it. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. So I started my painting company almost 7 years ago. And with doing that, I started following The Contractor Fight myself. One of my friends who's in the home service industry introduced me to your Facebook group a few years ago. So I've been following there and I've learned so much in there from all the community, and had so many questions and business that got answered through The Contractor Fight. So I appreciate what you do to serve, you know, contractors and the home service industry. It's pretty amazing the impact that you've been able to have. If you could go into your backstory. I was reading a little bit about how you came up in the trades. Your father and your uncle, is correct, were in the trades, and that's where you got started and had a painting company and then went into coaching. So you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. I grew up outside of Chicago, a town called Wheaton, Illinois. My dad was a tile guy, and my uncle was a painter. My grandfather was a painter, and my dad was all hunched over and got shorter as he got older, and they stayed about the same height. I opted to go work for my uncle growing up, and in and out of the Marine Corps. When I got out, I went back to work for my uncle, and ran one of his crews, and doing probably 60, 70 homes a year. He was a big new construction guy, still is. And fast forward a few years, I ended up going off and, you know, starting my own thing, and built that to, between 300 and 400 projects a year. And I sold my half of that in 2012 to my partner, who's a really good guy, and my family at the time. I was with my ex-wife at the time. We felt we needed a change in life and some things like that. So we decided we were going to move out of state and just open a new chapter of life. So I just didn't know what I was going to do at that point. And I had some time to figure it out, which was cool, somebody tapped me on the shoulder one day and they just said, "Hey, would you speak at this event on how to build a business?" And it was like a chamber of commerce event or something like that, And so I spoke, and then somebody else asked me to speak to their team, and then somebody asked me to coach them. And next thing you know, I'm coaching businesses, but it wasn't, none of them were contractors. It was just kind of general businesses. And, Man, I worked with publishing companies, chiropractors, real estate agents, gyms, all those different things. And in 2017, I just, I'm a niche guy, and that's why I could never be
Right.
a general contractor. It's too broad for me. Like I
Sure,
want to
yeah.
specialize in something. And in fact, my uncle, who I worked for, his son was just here for a few days. We took him skiing to Breckenridge and stuff. We live in Colorado Springs, and we were talking on the way to the airport yesterday. I just said, I think it's easier to, personally, this is just how I'm wired, right? And I know there's other people that wire differently, and that's cool. But, I think it's easier to get work. I think it's easier to build a team, put in processes, systems when you're doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
I've made those mistakes in the past, like in the wintertime in the Midwest when the snow is falling and you can't be outside painting. What do? You're an entrepreneur. Your brain is like, oh, I should start a handyman business. I should start this.
Yeah.
And you start
Yeah.
doing all these things. And from time to time we would dabble in those, and they just never succeeded, and I think
Right.
mainly they didn't succeed because of how I'm wired. And so, anyway, we in 2017, I think the summer of 2017, I decided that, contracting is where my heart's at. These are my people.
Right.
And so I rebranded our podcast at the time to The Contractor Fight. And since we did that, it's just been like hockey stick growth. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
We named it The Contractor Fight, because it's the fight between your ears.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to win the 6 inches between your ears before you do anything else. I personally believe that success in business is about 90% between your ears and 10% math and strategy and those other
Yeah,
tactical type things.
that's so good. I think a lot of guys out there who think they want to have a business don't realize the how hard it is, and it's so true. It's a that's why I think some of the things that I'm not going to say like I'm as successful as I want to be, but I think I've achieved some success and I contribute some of that to just disciplines in my life. Like I wake up at 4 a.m. and I go to the gym. And I know it sounds silly, but it's just having doing something very uncomfortable every day, I believe prepares me for the difficulty of running a business because it's like, waking up at four, I don't always want to do it, but I do it because I know the character that it's producing, right? So I wake up at four. Go to the gym. I don't always want to do a hard workout, but I do it anyway, So I think it's a lot of the challenges in business are it's mindset. And that's
One of our higher level coaching groups that we have in the fight, I do it with two guys that are outside of the contracting world. One guy is his name's Ben Newman, and Ben is I think USA Today just named him like in the top five mental toughness coaches in the world, right? With Ed Mylett and Brendon Burchard and all those guys and Tim Grover and this and that. And Ben, I've been working with Ben and doing things with him for about 3 years. And the other guy's a guy named Rene Rodriguez, who's the author of a book called Amplify Your Influence, which is just blowing up. And he speaks like 250 days a year. I mean, it's crazy. And I run a group with those guys to help, some of the higher level contractors win at, their next level, however you define that. And I was just talking to Rene last night. We were catching up, and he said, he just goes, dude, what do you think the biggest issue is with the average contractor? And immediately out of my mouth, it was the word discipline.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, I'm 54, and the longer I'm in the game, the more I'm helping people, the more I'm speaking, doing workshops, all the stuff that we do. It's crazy how, in the Matrix, when everything kind of slows down, that's how it's kind of become for me now, where it's like I could just see that this individual's issue is not the economy, it's not who's in the White House, it's none of that other garbage. It's the fact that they're not a disciplined person.
Right.
And you want to call our methodology that we work with people, and everything kind of goes in this order with us, is we're here to demolish mediocrity in you, the individual, and then in your home, and then in your business, in that order. And you have to work on you. You have to get oxygen for you. You know, you got to take care of your mind. You got to take care of your body, those things that you were talking about. And then you got to, you know, love up on your family, whatever that looks like under your roof, those immediate relationships that you have. And then you work on the business. And you know, that's sadly, most contractors, most business owners work their tails off. They put the business first because they're trying to provide,
right?
Which is noble and the intentions are good, but you know, it'd be like trying to paint the house before the house was framed, you know, this wouldn't make any sense. And so,
right.
You know, we're, you know, we believe that success is an inside out game. And that's why we talk about discipline so much and mindset and how you think and reframing things and, you know, not allowing your feelings to dictate how you show up. You know, we could go on for hours on that stuff, but you know, I just encourage anybody listening right now, no matter where you're at in your business, if you can't find two nickels to rub together right now, or you have more work than you can handle, work on you first, then take care of the family. When I say take care of the family, and I'm big on this because guys, I've made every mistake under the sun. You know, I mentioned earlier, I have an ex-wife, right? And part of the reason I have an ex-wife is the order in which I was doing things. I was building a company, doing hundreds of jobs a year, all in the name of providing for my family. And I provided financially, but I didn't provide in other ways, emotionally and some of those things. And so learned a lot of hard lessons. And I'm super passionate about helping others not repeat those mistakes, especially the younger guys that are getting started in the trades and stuff. And, you know, so we have a thing now, you know, I'm remarried and love of my life, soulmate, and we call her the queen. Her name is Lee. And, the queen and I, we have a date every day of the year. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't mean we go out to dinner and whatever. It means 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, we get time every single day where we put our relationship first, and she works on her, I work on me, and then we work on us together. And then obviously we have five kids. They're all out of the house now, but, and I'm at a different season in life. I understand there's some guys listening to this have like three little ones running around, and it's a different context, but it doesn't mean you can't get 10 to 15 minutes a day with your spouse, your significant other, to make sure that that's a priority. And what's funny is that when you, and we've helped thousands of contractors over the years, and when they flip those priorities, it's amazing how quickly the business grows, because you carry who you are and what's going on at home. You carry it into the workplace. Mm-hmm. You can't not, there's no way to leave it behind. And so if you're an undisciplined knucklehead who can't get up on time, you know, that's going to carry into the business. How you do one thing's how you do everything. If you can't honor the commitment to be home at a certain time for dinner and you blame the business, you know, that's going to be a problem. And it's not, and it's funny, you're not home for dinner when you said, and you think it's helping the business, but it's really not helping the business.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, again, I, you know, when I, you know, I don't really do, a whole lot of one-on-one coaching anymore, just a couple people a year. But the first question I ask somebody is, I'm like, tell me about your workout. How are you taking care of yourself? What's that look like? And when's the last time you took your wife on a date? That is our first call always. Yeah. And we dig into that. And sometimes we don't get to the business stuff for a couple months, 'cause I want you solid at home. Because if you're not solid at home, you could always start another business. You can always get a job. There's always a way to make money, but, you know, we end up stealing time, money, and memories from our families when we don't work in the certain order of priority.
Yeah, that's so good. Everything you said is like what I live by. I tell a lot of people, I tell my wife this, I refuse to have success in my business at the expense of my marriage, at the expense of spending time with my son. You know, and we've got a second on the way due in February. And it's like that's my priority, right? And the business is secondary. And You know, it supports, obviously, it provides, but I tell people all the time, I'm like, if I have a successful business, but my marriage falls apart, I don't have a relationship with my kids, and I'm overweight and unhealthy, then, you know, what's the point of that? So I think it's really important to, like you said, focus on building that foundation personally, and then it creates an environment for you to thrive on the business side of things.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. It's not like they're, I mean, you're running a business. There are certain days, certain seasons of the year, you know, where it's go time, you know? And so putting the family first and yourself first, you know, you can still find time to work out and read a book or whatever you got to do to feed your brain and stuff like that. And you can also communicate with your spouse. Don't expect your spouse to read your mind. Like, you know, there's times here in the fight where we got big initiatives going on and projects and stuff that are just going to require a lot more time. And I just say to the queen, hey, baby, the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a little crazy with this, this, and this. But it's not an everyday thing. That's where a lot of guys go wrong is number one, they expect their partner to read their mind. Number two, it's always like that. Right. And if it's always like that, if you're always in a sprint in your business, if you're always working, can never feel like you can take a day off or whatever, then that's an indicator that you got to fix some stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, sadly, most contractors, you know, they're living a shit show, man. And it's, but it's fixable. It's easily fixable, if you want to get better. A lot of guys, and when I guys listen, here's the other thing. A lot of things that come out of my mouth are because that's who I was, okay? And I've made these mistakes where, you know, I never felt I could take a day off. I never felt like, you know, I the only way I thought that you provided for a family was financially. I have a whole story about money mindset and all that other garbage growing up, you know. So, you know, but if it's your norm that you're always in a sprint, then you got to call a timeout and communicate, you know, with the people closest to you, and something's got to give, something's got to change.
Yeah, and I think you know, we kind of segue into this conversation is, you know, guys who decide, hey, you know, I want to start my own business, and I think that's the next step for me. I think they don't realize the there's I think two really key components to avoiding, you know, what you're saying, where you just end up working like crazy hours 7 days a week, and you're just chasing your tail trying to survive. And I think that's one is like what we just talked about, you know, your foundation personally. And then secondly, I think it's understanding in order to have a healthy business, you have to have systems and processes in place that cultivate those rhythms to have healthy boundaries and standards of like, you know, this is when I'm going to work, and this is when I'm going to be home with my family. And these are the systems and processes that I have in place to do that. I think guys just, you know, one, they don't know how to market their business, sell. They don't know how to create the systems and processes. So it's like they just have this, they have business coming in, they're inundated with work. They don't know how to manage it. They don't have the systems in place to do that. So they're just trying to get jobs done. They're trying to, you know, keep up with everything. And you know, then that's when everything just starts to fall apart. You know, they're just working like crazy, but they don't have all those areas in line. So
Yeah, so here's the deal. When you start a business, you are no longer a craftsman first. Okay? Like you do not get that privilege of just being a craftsman. And when I say that, people are like, oh, Reber thinks craftsmanship and quality is not important. That's BS, right? Like it's, of course it's important. All right. However, if you're going to start a business, you are now volunteering to put on a business owner hat first and foremost. And the number one thing, the number one role that you have when you start a business is to make money. Okay. 1A and 1B. find a need to meet the need and get paid handsomely, right? And so the first rung of the ladder, if you want to call it that, is sales. Like if you are not fanatical about ringing the cash register every day, it happened to me. It probably happened to you. It happens to everybody that starts a business. You underestimate what it takes to get the phone to ring, to sell projects. You know, most people that call themselves salespeople, let alone contractors that start a business, are terrible at sales. They don't know how to communicate with people. They don't know how to, you know, sell with empathy, and they don't know how to contract around somebody's motive. You know, they think it's about, oh, look at my quality and our awards, and we don't subcontract, or we do sub whatever your model is, right? And we think it's about all those things, and it's actually about human connection. So being fanatical about sales is number one. Then it's let's refine our profit, get our profit as high as we can with what we have. And then we start thinking about systems. And I'm not saying systems don't exist, but I just see so many, dude, I'm going to say it. I've been in the paint industry forever. Painters complicate everything. Okay. And when I'm talking to a painter and they bring up the word systems, I'm like, oh shit, here we go again. All right. Cause the average painter will obsess over things that don't matter yet. Okay. Right. What matters right now, like, and I'll give you an example. Like if you've been in business for 5 years, okay. And you're not putting $250,000 in your own pocket, then you're not ready to scale.
Right.
All right. Now, some guys hear that and they're like, you know, I do $5 million a year and I don't even pay myself $250,000 a year. Okay. Yeah. That's a problem because you have a profit issue. You've proven you can sell, but you have a profit issue. And the profit issue is either you're not selling at the right rates or you got some efficiency issues. All right.
Right.
I mean, dude, I got guys that are doing, you know, 700 grand a year paying themselves three. Okay. Because they're clear on what they want.
Right.
So when you start a business, or maybe you've been in the game for a while, you're listening to this. If you haven't taken some time to get super clear on exactly what you want your life and business to look like and how you want it to serve you, this is part of getting oxygen right, by the way. All right. We all want to take care of our guys, take care of our customers and all this. And we end up, you know, the ones standing at the end with nothing. Because, and so I want to drill into people's heads. You're not some greedy corporate ogre if you're focused on making money. Of course, it's about client experience. And I mean, we talk all the time in the fight about loving your clients, okay, right. And loving your team and all these different things. But if you're doing all that and you're not making a shit ton of money, that's a problem.
Right.
There's too many things in business that stress you out, too many responsibilities, too many pressures for you to not get paid. I mean, you can go make 100 grand right now running crews for another painting company if you're a painter and not have the burden of running a business if you want. Okay. So, but if you're going to run a business, let's commit to making as much money as you can, because you can now reinvest it. Obviously, you get oxygen for you and your family, and you can reach your goals and have a savings and retirement, and you could pay for the braces and, you know, all those different things that happen through life. You can help extended family members who are struggling. Like it's, we make money to give it. Right.
Yeah.
And then you could also take those profits and reinvest it into your team. Your team is leaving because they don't see a future in your company because you're a shithead who won't get this stuff in order.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you wonder, you're like, oh, nobody wants to work. No, you haven't given anyone vision.
Right.
I mean, earlier we were talking about your family's a mess, your health is a mess, your bank account's a mess. That to me is the root of why there's a deficit of labor in the trades, because people that are not in the trades that are growing up with their uncles and their dads and all this, they're looking at them going, why the hell would I want that?
Right. Yeah. He's,
I mean, that was me growing. I never wanted to go into the trades. My dad was tired, broke, and dirty at the end of every day. And we were literally on the poor side of the tracks. All my friends had doctor and lawyer dads and engineers, and they were always going to Vail and shit like that and spring break and whatever. And we never went anywhere. And I'm like, why would I want to be a contractor?
Right.
Here I am. But anyway, but you know, so like, you know, you want to attract a better team. You want to retain people? You got to be better. Be an example of what's possible in the trades. You know, when you pull your right-hand guy aside and you say, hey, listen, I got a plan for you this year to put another $15,000 in your pocket. You think that's not going to wake them up? Right.
Right.
And they're not going to, latch their wagon to you, but you don't do that because you're not profitable. So, and then here's my version of systems. I am not wired to be a systems guy, right? Like some people wake up in the morning and they see the world in flow charts and spreadsheets and stuff like that. And that's totally cool. My CEO in the fight is like that. All right.
Right.
I know I need systems now. And here's the thing. We all have systems. It's just, are they intentional, right? If you're writing somebody's phone number on a scrap piece of wood and throwing it in your dashboard, that's your CRM. Okay. So like you have a system. But obviously, most of our systems aren't serving us. And knowing this is just self-awareness again, man, knowing that that's not my wheelhouse. I put my focus on selling and making as much profit as possible so that I can hire the people that are kick-ass at the things that I'm not good at. And I see it. This is where I see a lot of painters and other contractors. They push aside their strength all in the name of trying to build systems. And all they do is stress themselves out. They lose money. And 3 years later, they're in the same place. So focus on sales, focus on profit. When I say profit, guys, 50% gross profit is the minimum standard. Meaning if it costs you $1,000 to paint a room, labor and material, you're paying your guys and you buy the paint, you're charging at least $2,000. And I get more pushback from people on this, dude. Oh, you can't do that in my industry. You can't do that in my trade, not in my area, because customers are cheap or what. No, you just need to get better. Right.
Yeah.
You need to fix your mindset. You need to market your business better with the right messaging. You need to learn how to sell in a way where price is not the number one factor for your prospects. One of the reasons, God, I feel like I'm like connecting everything here. One of the reasons that you're getting price resistance from your prospects is because you're a shit show.
Right.
Seriously. Like you're not disciplined. You have no brand consistency. All right. You don't know how to communicate with somebody and understand what's important to them. You don't honor the commitment. You say you're going to call at 4 o'clock and you don't call at 4 o'clock, whatever it might be. All these things send a message. If they go to your website and it doesn't load quickly, that's a reason to not pay you more. That's why earlier we said not everyone has the stomach to run a business. Okay.
Yeah.
But when you dial these things in, the money's the easy part. Making out of all the problems I've ever had in life, looking back now, I'm like, man, making money is actually the easiest one. Like it's because most people have a crappy money mindset and they never do anything about it. But money is just, and it's you give more value, you get more money when you can communicate that. And I don't mean communicate value in the sales process about bragging about how great you are. I'm talking about the content you create. You're educating your clients, the message you send with your brand. All these different things tell a story of why you're worth more.
Yeah.
Like how many contractors do you know? I see this a lot with like kitchen and bath guys, remodelers and whatever. They go, we do high-end kitchens. Then you go to their website and it looks like a used car dealership website. If you're claiming to be high-end contractor in anything, your website better look like BMW or Mercedes.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, and your brand and the way you show up and the way you communicate has to be on that level, or you're going to continually get that price objection because your prospect's going, well, they're saying high end and they're going to do this and the price is really high, but then all this other evidence is contrary to that messaging.
Yeah.
And then that's where fear and uncertainty and doubt comes in. And then they start nitpicking you and they want you to break shit down and all that garbage.
Are you a home service business owner? Do you have a strategic way to get reviews for your business on Google, Facebook, and other platforms? If you don't, then you need to implement NiceJob. Since implementing NiceJob, we have grown our reviews from 10 all the way up to over 60 reviews online in less than a year. If you're interested in using this feature in your business and growing your Google My Business reviews, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up for a free trial of Nice Job. And let me know if you sign up so I can help you to implement it and get a strategy in place with your team to get more reviews so you can start winning on Google and beating out your competition locally. Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I hear the same things too. I've got buddies of mine who they'll say it, they think it's like unethical to make 50% profit margins or more. I mean, and on a lot of our jobs, we're making 60 plus, you know. And I think you have to shift your mindset and say, well, if you're not making that that type of margin, you can't build a professional operation. You know, you can't afford to show up professionally. You can't afford to invest in your website. You can't afford to invest in your guys and pay them well. You can't, you know, you can't really elevate yourself if you're not charging enough. And I think guys think it's a unethical thing to your customer, but what about your employees? What about how you're serving them?
You know, it's unethical. Here's what's unethical: for you to deliver high value to your prospect or your clients, and you be left, you and your team are left with nothing to show for it after a career of busting your ass. So this is my best friend right here. It's Calculator. Okay, it's my best friend. I want to give some guys some perspective here. Excuse me. Let's say your overhead every month is 20 grand. Okay. And that 20 grand, just for how I do things, should include your salary of at least $100,000 as the owner of the business. Minimum. Mm-hmm. That's $8,300 a month, right? So what's that? You got another 12,000 bucks a year or a month to pay for other overhead. Overhead, you guys, is everything that has to be paid in the business, even if you don't do any projects. It is not your guys in the field that you pay hourly. It is not materials. It's not permits. It's not rentals. None of that stuff. It's your marketing, your website, your dues for associations, you're in your office rent, whatever, truck payments, all those things, that's cell phones that have to get paid, right? So let's just say it's 20 grand.
Right.
And you're the average contractor. And I say the average because we've helped thousands of people. And the average person, when they come to us, is doing around a 30% gross profit. Meaning if they sell a $10,000 job, it costs them seven to do it. And they got 3 grand left to pay that overhead.
Right.
That's why gross profit support. So the higher gross profit you get, the easier your life is going to be. And more importantly, or as important, you can deliver a better experience to your clients, which is ethical and fair to them. But when you're cheap and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul because you got to get to finish this quick and get to the next job to get the next deposit to keep cash flow going, all right, you're screwing the person that you're hurrying to get the job done. That's unethical. So anyway, 20 grand, 30%, 20 grand divided by 0.30 is 30%. Just to break even on the 20 grand, you got to do $67,000 a month. You have to collect it. All right. What's your average job size, man?
Typically around 4,500.
All right. So 66,666 divided by 4,500. You got to do 15 jobs. Okay. Just to keep the 20 grand to break even and have no net profit. Now I'm paying your salary in this and whatever, right? What's your closing rate on sales?
We typically fluctuate anyway between like 40 to 45%. Right, sometimes
so 40,
higher.
We'll call it 42. So 15 jobs divided by 0.42, you need 36 leads to break even every month. Now, you take the same 20 grand, you divide it by a 50% gross profit, you only need to bring in 40 grand divided by your 4,500. Instead of 15 jobs, you need 9 jobs. 9 divided by 42, you only need 22 leads. You need 14 less leads or whatever it is.
Right.
So you need less leads. You need less jobs to break even when you're at a 50% gross profit, which means everything you sell above that goes straight to net. And so this is that hamster wheel that contractors get on. And, you know, it's not about volume. It's about you selling at the right rates Oh, well, here's another thing, dude, that I won't do the math on. When you have a lower gross profit, you actually need more people in the field to fulfill it. When you have a higher gross profit, you could do it with a smaller team. I mean,
Right.
I got guys that are doing 2, 3 million a year that have a team of four,
Yeah.
and they're extremely profitable. Now they have a marketing machine going where they're attracting the right prospects and they have leads to burn, if you want to call it that. Right. Which
Yeah.
is why we have to be fanatical about marketing our business and not just waiting for things to happen. So gross profit, man, I'm telling you. And I get, like you said, contractors, I get everything from it's unethical to I want to be fair to my clients. I'll never get any work if I price my work that way. I call BS on all of that stuff. All
Yeah.
right. This is why the average contractor works a career and has nothing to show for it financially because they refuse to be open to the idea that this could work. Okay.
Right.
Like I'm just asking you to be open to it and test it. And now you have to level up your skills. You gotta get better at sales. You gotta know your numbers. You gotta get better at marketing. You gotta get
Yep.
better at communicating. And all these things that we've talked about today, they work together.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about this, but when I think about the painting industry as a whole, and one thing that I am not a fan of is guys saying I can't find good help, or there's not good guys out there. I can't find the right people, and that's part of why they stay in like this defeated mindset. And I mean, I've got amazing guys. I've got guys right now that are coming from other companies to work for me. And I think that a big part of that is attracting them, and I think we have to like shift our mindset. But can you speak to, because I know you've mentioned this before, there's some guys out there that would be better off just working for a great company. And I think there's guys out there as we're talking, there's a lot that goes into running a successful business. It takes a different mindset. And I think that there's guys out there who don't realize that, and maybe they're better suited just working for a great company. How would you help somebody make that self-conscious, self-aware decision to say, hey, maybe I'm not cut out for this? What kind of questions should they be asking themselves to say, hey, you know what? I'm not cut out to be a business owner. I would be better off going and working for a great company. Are there any, tips, advice you would give to those guys? Are you a home service business owner that is trying to get off the ladder and work on your business instead of in it? Well, you need a robust CRM that is going to help your business to be more efficient and streamlined so that you can get your time back to focus on things that are going to help your business grow. Now, Jobber is going to help you to manage your client requests, your quotes, your jobs, and your invoicing. You can do everything all in one place and manage everything from start to finish. And not to mention Jobber payments. You don't have to chase around checks, try to go and collect cash, or wait for checks to come in the mail anymore. You can just get paid right on the spot with Jobber payments. If you're interested in implementing Jobber into your business, click on the show notes below and sign up for a free trial of Jobber. That's not it. Reach out to me. I want to help make sure that you maximize everything that Jobber has to offer so that you can get your business growing right away. Thank you so much. And let's get back to the Off the Ladder podcast.
I think there's a couple different scenarios, right? Let's start with the new guy. You're a new guy, you've been running a business for a couple of years, 3 years, and you're working on you. You're getting better. Your debt is not increasing. Your income is going up. Like if you could just kind of just look at the data, just simply look at the data. Like, am I trending in the right direction? Then, hey, you're doing some things right. Stay the course. Right. If you've been in the game for a while and you're reliving the same year every year, right? You're not growing closer to your spouse. You're not, if you're getting unhealthier, if you are unhealthier, like physically, mentally, and financially, if your debt is increasing year over year over year, and putting that anchor on your shoulders every day that you have to carry, if you're still making around the same amount of money, if your employees are like a revolving door, you know, these are just indicators. You know, success leaves clues, and so does unsuccessful people. They leave clues too. And so I think it's then it's time to get your ego out of the way and just go, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know? And so I try to take the emotion out of it, which is tough because I get it, man. I built a lot of businesses and it's your baby. And you know, you don't ever want to go to if and so if you're gonna sit here and go, I'm never gonna go back to work for somebody again, then you know what? You need to get your head out of your ass and do what a real business owner does and start making the changes and put your money where your mouth is. Right. Put your actions in your time where your mouth is and work on you and get better. You know, I think if you're going to sit here and argue with people that are successful about what it takes to be successful and keep doing your things, doing things your own way, then you're going to just get what you get. But I think the most successful people, and I can only speak for our contractor fight world, the people that can let their guard down for 2 seconds and just go, you know what? There's probably some things here I could learn that I'm not getting right. And this is really my only option now, meaning I gotta be humble here and get my ego out of the way and give this whole thing, you know, running a real business, get my head right, charging when I need to charge, all the things we talked about. I got to give this a go because what I'm doing is simply not working. So yeah. I think it's a, I mean, dude, I'm blown away by the, like, if you're going to the payday loan places to make payroll, that's a huge issue. We have a guy in our program. He's one of our coaches now. He had $1 million of debt like that.
Oh, wow.
And he, but here's the thing. He was like, I mean, his marriage was about to end. He was about to lose his house and he had $1 million in debt. His business was doing like 1.3 a year. He was only paying himself like 40 grand a year. Like, and he's like, all right, I've been listening to the fight. I'm going to do things your way for 1 year, 100% of what you guys tell me to do. He jumped into our program. Dude, within 3 years, he had $1 million of debt paid off. He 5x'd his personal income, kept his house, obviously, you know, and saved his marriage. And, oh, and he lost 80 pounds.
Wow.
Okay. And now he's coaching and helping others through those storms as well.
Right.
Right. So it can be done no matter how dark your situation is. But in his case, his name's James. In James's case, he went all in and put his ego aside. And that's what I see a lot of people don't do. Right.
Yeah.
Or they half-ass it. They go, yeah, I'm going to do this, but then they don't fully commit. You know, like one of the things we do is we do daily role play calls 5 days a week, every weekday in our program, live sales training role play calls where we teach you how to sell better. Right. And guys will commit to being on the call and then something will happen in the field and that could wait, but then they go, oh, I got to go in the field and they don't honor the commitment to get better in sales and nothing ever changes. So it's that half-assed commitment, right? Or I don't feel like job costing this project right now because I have other things to do. No, you do what you need to do to get better every day and you stack those wins every day. So, you know, and the whole thing with like, you know, it can't find guys. I think one of the reasons you can't find guys is you're not trying. Like you don't have a recruiting plan in place. You don't even have a careers page on your website. You're not talking about it. You're not on social showing your culture. There's so many tactical things you could do. But the point is if you really wanted to find great people, you have to, it's like marketing. I believe marketing is the same in a lot of ways for new clients as it is in employees. Right. 365 days a year, we need to be marketing for people. And so I think that's number one, is you're just not committed. You only hire when you need it instead of always hiring and always looking for good people. And number two, back to what we said earlier, you're a bad example, right? You're like, your life's a mess. Your health's a mess. Your bank account's a mess. Your business is nothing but chaos. And if you want to hire, I'm wearing my FW shirt, stands for F and winner. You know, that's, if you want FWs, that's what we call A players in our world. If you want to hire the FWs that are out there, a winner is not going to hitch their wagon, bring their time and talents and all passions and all that stuff to a company that there's no future.
Right.
So like, you're sabotaging yourself because you're not taking care of you and all those other things we talked about first. And now you're not attractive to winners. That's why you continue to attract boneheads, you know, because boneheads, you know, what's saying, like attracts like.
Yeah.
So, and then when you hire them, let's say you do hire a winner, they're not going to stay if they don't see a future. Like, what benefit am I going to get as employee if I stay with this company? Okay. And what's the map of my career? Am I going to be sanding baseboards my whole life? You know, or am I actually going to have a career path here? We call it a mastery ladder. Like, how can I move up, and what are the skills and education and those things that are needed for me to get to the next level? So, I mean, dude, and all these things fit together, and it just comes back to the fact that it's okay. If you don't want to do these things, then don't, it's okay to let go and go get a job and bring your best to somebody who's winning at a high level.
Yeah.
You know, and help them build a kick-ass company and give yourself a great future and sleep better at night and, you know, let go of some of those pressures, man. I mean, it's truly, so when I say like you should quit or whatever, I'm not ripping on you. Like, I actually respect people that go, you know what? I don't want to do this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's other things that are more important to me in life. And, you know, I just feel like if you're going to build a business, build the biggest and most profitable business you can. Okay. And this is where a lot of contractors are like, oh, I don't want all the trouble with employees and I don't want to build a big business. And this, I say, build a big business. Big is relative, by the way. I say, build a big business because I know that if my business is growing in scale and profit, I know I'm getting better.
Right.
You know what I mean? So as I continue to grow, the business can't help but grow. So you're not going to grow into chaos if you continue to grow personally.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's, and listen, you're giving incredible quality of work and service to your clients and all these things. You should be bigger. You
Right.
should put the other guys that are unwilling to do these things out of business. You should be the only game in town if you're truly approaching it in an ethical way with integrity and meeting needs of people. And guess what? They get to pay for it too, right? Whatever your prices are. And so everybody wins because now you're taking the pain away from the client who hired the idiot, because that idiot's not in business anymore.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think guys have to realize is, like, you have to take extreme ownership. That's one of my favorite leadership books. It's one of my favorite principles is, you know, extreme ownership. At the end of the day, everything with your business rises and falls on you and what you're doing. You know, if you're not leading yourself well, you're not going to be able to grow a business. And so I think a lot of guys, if you're not willing to, you know, confront your bad marriage, if you're not willing to confront your health, if you're not willing to confront, you know, the fact that your business isn't doing well, if you're not willing to take ownership of those things, or the fact that you, you know, suck at getting great people to work for you, if you can't take ownership of that, then you should go work for somebody else.
Yep.
You know, because you're just going to be constantly just creating a bigger mess, in my opinion.
Well, here's the other thing. Whether you go work for somebody else or not, you should take extreme ownership.
Yeah,
because
that's
if you just shut your business down and you don't take ownership for who you are and the results you're getting in life, you're just going to be miserable wherever you go next.
Yeah.
Right. So this is where I said you take yourself everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're never going to go wrong owning your crap, looking in the mirror, and as you see things that need adjusting, making those adjustments. You know, and working to be a better person, whether you're an employee or you're a business owner.
Yeah. That's so good. So for guys who are listening to this, there's a few takeaways that I think that we've got so far is like it, the battle really starts in your mind. And I think being clear about your mindset is important, knowing who you are, what you want to accomplish, clear about your values, clear about your plan and your goals. And then, secondly, I think you have to really confront yourself, and you have to decide to build solid foundations in your personal life before you can focus on your business. And then if you're not willing to do all of that, then maybe that's not what you're called to do or supposed to do. Would you think that's a pretty good summary of that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. And listen, you have all the power. You can choose to do what it takes. It's simply a choice and just execute. Okay. It doesn't matter the obstacles in your way. If you want to own a business that's successful and have the life that you dreamed of when you started your business, you can do it. Doesn't matter what your education. I was in special ed for 2 years and rode the short bus in grade school. Okay. Terrible student, crazy upbringing, broken home, substance abuse, all these things, man. It was crazy. And I don't want people to think like, oh, I'm a knucklehead and I can't do this. No, you can do this if you choose to do this. Right? You just have to choose to do it and no excuses. I mean, one of my mentors, pull this up here. We were talking about something that's more of a private nature, so I won't give you all the specifics, but I'll give you an example here of how to word things. Let me pull it up here. So let's say you say I'm going to commit to growing a real business that pays me 250 grand a year minimum, so my family has a life. It's going to be a However you define a successful business, right? I'm not going to use all the words here, but whatever success looks like to you, start saying it. And I have this as an alarm on my phone, by the way. It goes off a few times a day to remind me. Okay. I am committed to fill in the blank, right? Growing a successful business, being a profitable, whatever. I'm committed to growing a successful business no matter what. There is no other option. When you frame it like that and show up every day like that, you are going to then, here's a key part of this. What you're doing is the results that we get are the product of our self-talk. It starts with our self-talk. So if you're telling yourself in your thoughts or out loud, people are just cheap. I can't find good employees. Nobody wants to pay our prices, whatever the thing is. If you're telling yourself that, then your thoughts become beliefs. Your beliefs turn into your actions or inactions, and those actions get you the results that you're getting. It's an acronym we call T-BAR in the fight: thoughts, beliefs, actions, results. So, for instance, 50% gross profit. Right now, if you're listening to this, you're like, man, I don't know if that's doable, but you know what? I'm going to start telling myself a different story. Like, hey, I can't wait to find the people that are willing to pay the prices I need to charge for the work that I deliver. Let's see what happens today. That's a thought. Tell yourself that every day. You lose a bid, you just go, you know what? That's all right. I can't wait to level up my skills, to get better in sales, to know my numbers better. To work on me so that I can charge what I'm worth. Well, you keep telling yourself that intentionally, pretty soon you're going to believe it, and then your actions are going to follow, meaning you're going to raise your prices, you're going to do sales role plays, whatever it is. All right. You're going to have that tough conversation with an employee, you're going to fill in the blank. And over time, you're going to start getting the results that you want because it started with your thoughts. So I can't find good people. Flip it to go, man, I live in a town of 500,000 people. I can't wait to meet the two or three guys that are going to help this team be awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? And then you'll start to believe that they're out there. And guys, I am not Mr. Woo Woo, by the way, but I can tell you, I have hundreds of examples in my life, professional and personal, where I can look back and go, told myself the right story there, told myself the wrong story there, over and over and over. And most of our thoughts are on autopilot. So that's why we have to be really intentional. That's why I write things down. I have alarms go off on my phone to remind me that I'm a human being, man. I have the same struggles all of us have with negative self-talk. You know, I mentioned Ben Newman earlier, who's, dude, Ben's top mental toughness coach. He's worked with everyone from Nick Saban to NFL and PGA and MMA guys and billion-dollar construction companies, you name it. And I sit down with Ben. I'm like, dude, what is the number one thing that holds people back? He's like, self-talk. Boom. Mm. That's it. Because it sets the stage for everything else.
Yeah, that's so good. And so what I want to clarify too is I don't think you're saying, you gave some different metrics like, hey, if you've been in business for 3 years and you haven't reached this, like, you should just quit. I agree with that. And I don't, I think some people achieve success at different times, but I think what you're really saying is like, it comes down to, what do you believe about yourself? What is your mindset? Are you going to quit, or are you going to take ownership? And if you're not going to take ownership, if you're not going to work on your mindset, if you're not going to work on your personal self-talk, then maybe you should quit. You know, I think that's what you're saying, is there's not necessarily like a definitive, because I think we all face challenges and struggles in business. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're necessarily saying like, if you face a struggle, you should quit, but you're saying if you're, approach to that isn't right, then maybe you should. Is that what you're saying?
If you keep getting the same results over and over and you're not achieving the success that you want, then there's one of two issues. Number one, you haven't truly identified with clarity what you want, mm-hmm. or you're not taking the actions to get there. Right?
Right.
And both of those are within my control. When I throw things out, like, you're not making $250,000 in 5 years and this and that, I understand there's other context to people's lives. Dude, I speak this, and this is a marketing lesson here. Let me give this to you guys. Now, my ideal client is a contractor. I can mm-hmm. speak to a contractor very differently than I would speak to Mrs. Jones if I were marketing painting, right?
Right.
That's why you go on my podcast and I'm YouTube, I'm screaming at you and this. And the reason is, most people that do what I do, they're soft and professional, and they don't want to make waves, and they don't take a stand. They don't plant their flag in the ground and stand for something. That's the marketing lesson here. This is who I am, number one. But like, when you market your business, you got to plant your flag on some things. And I believe in what's called a pattern interrupt. So if somebody mm-hmm. was driving down the road, listening to this podcast with an earbud, and who's been in business 6 years, and I go, if you've been in business 5 years and aren't making $250,000, you're a loser. Okay. Now, I obviously don't know that person. My point is it's time to start getting paid what you're worth.
Shake some up.
Right? And wake up. And now, mm-hmm. if you define success for you is, I want to work 3 days a week, 9 months out of the year, and pay myself $150,000 a year and do the work myself, and then go fishing or whatever your life looks like,
sure.
and you're attaining that, good for you. I will never judge somebody's definition of their own success. I would just encourage people, don't settle for scraps. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't settle for the going rate of what most contractors charge and what they make and the type of life they have. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So now, do I believe that you should be making $250,000 in 5 years? Yeah, I do. Unless you're a handyman. That's a crazy business there, man. but you are going to make, I'm going to make, we're all going to make what we believe we're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage you guys, like, if you're showing up with integrity, which I know they are, they're doing a quality project, they're communicating well, they're alleviating some sort of pain in their customer's life, or giving them some sort of pleasure that they want to pay for with a new backyard or whatever it might be. All right. Then you got to believe that you're worth a lot of money for that. Because there's a lot of mm-hmm. people that they're paying that are more, that are charging more than you, that are not delivering those things.
Right.
Okay. So earn what you're worth and start telling yourself a different story.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I don't, my goal is not for people to quit their business and go out of, my goal is for people to step up to the challenge and get better. I think the world needs more contracting businesses. I think we
Yeah,
need more
that's
young
true.
kids coming into the trades, right? I think we, you know, I think it, I mean, our overall grand vision for the contractor fight is to create a world where the trades are no longer a fallback option.
Yeah, that's good.
Where people are getting out of school going, I'm going into the trades,
Yeah.
right? Because the
Yep.
contractors I know, they're in shape, they got great marriages, awesome family, making money, like all
Yeah.
that stuff. And the guys that work for them have those same things too. That's the type of world we're trying to create here,
Yeah, that's good.
right? I want you to be able to pay all your foremen over 100 grand a year,
Yeah.
right? So,
And I think
anyway.
too, like all of this can be reverse engineered, you know? So like when you talk about these different goals and everything, like we had a meeting this morning, 7 a.m. at the office, me and my guys, and we went over, you know, it was our, we have it every year, at the end of the year, and we look at, you know, the current year, what went well, what were our goals, did we hit them? And then we say, okay, this is what our goal is next year. And we reverse engineer, okay, well, what is it going to take to get there? You know, if we want to hit X amount of dollars in revenue at X amount of net profit, well, we need to bring in X amount of leads and we need to close at this closing rate. And if we close at this closing rate at this average job size, this is how many jobs we have to do. This is, you know, and so we, you know, I think instead of saying, oh, it's not possible or I can't do it, you have to sit down and say, okay, well, what's it going to take to get there? And then do the work, you know, take action, implement, and go out there and make it happen. And you know, so I'm a firm believer in that, just planning in general.
Yeah, well, the two most important words in business, I believe, are clarity and consistency. Be clear on what you want and consistent in the daily actions that are going to move you closer to what you want. And that's exactly what you're doing, right? When you reverse engineer something like that, then you break it down in, okay, what is this week's big initiative? And what are the steps each day that me or the team or whoever needs to take to ensure that the phone is going to ring 63 times in January? Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And you do those things and you track those things and you measure those things. And then you make adjustments as you go. You know, you get more of what you focus on. A lot of us, I used to do this, man. We used to come up with this big vision for the year and then we roll it out to the team and then we never talked about it anymore, which
That's
is
good.
easy to do because you get busy, which
Right.
is, you know, no excuse, but I get it. That's why. You know, having that weekly meeting with your team is so important and going, hey, we're on track for this. We're a little behind. Let's do the more you're talking about these things, the more you're communicating that this is important. And like I said a minute ago, you get what you focus on. So if you're focused on finding a right-hand person right now in your company and you're fanatical about it, you will find that right-hand person. If you're fanatical about raising your gross profit by at least 10% in the next 90 days, all right, and you're talking about it, and you're talking about it in terms of like, hey guys, this is why we have to finish jobs in the bid man hours, and this is why we got to stay on budget, and this is, you know, why a great experience is all these different things. You're talking about it, okay? Your brain is wired that when you tell your brain something's important, it looks for evidence in the world and it brings it to you. Okay, so that was a huge mistake I've made in the past, is I would roll these big plans and goals out and then I'd never revisit them. They'd just be in my head, but I wouldn't keep putting it on the consciousness of the team as a whole,
Yeah.
where we're all rowing in the same boat in the same direction together towards an objective. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, if you have an employee that you know, he's like, man, I want to be able to take my wife on a vacation. I've never taken her on a vacation and we want to go here and it costs $7,000. I'm going to sit here and go, all right, Billy, let's figure out how we can make you another 7 grand this year. And then we're doing a regular monthly or weekly check-in on that and this and that. You think he's not going to make that? He's going to make it
Right.
in 90 days.
Right. Two other things that you mentioned before we went to that is you know, you mentioned for yourself in self-talk that you tell yourself there's no other option. And I think that's, you know, that's powerful because, you know, for myself, I ask myself this question all the time. If I face a difficulty in business, I tell myself, if I
if I create another option in my mind, I'm creating a like a an exit, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna have to start over,
mm-hmm.
right? So if it's not, I've just kind of decided for myself, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build an amazing company. And no matter what happens, that's what I'm dedicated to. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's a mindset that you have to decide that you have and realize, like, you know, I think there's value in deciding when is the right time to quit. I think, you know, there's, you know, if you're not, if your business isn't making money, if you're, you know, you don't have a market for your services, and the writing's on the wall, well, you know, maybe it's time to throw in the mm-hmm. towel. But, you know, like for myself, there's a market for my services. We make money. You know, do I face challenges? Absolutely. But I've just decided I'm going to put my head down and grow and work through those challenges.
Yeah. I mean, that again, that's, you know, by you going, there's no other option, you're getting what you focus on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving yourself an eject button because you're willing to put in the work to own your crap, to have self-awareness, all the things that we've talked about, to when you identify something that you're bringing to the company that's holding it back, you're going to do something about it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think another big factor here is, are you happy?
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
I mean, I've had businesses before where very successful financially and I just wasn't mm-hmm. happy. So I'm like, I'm done, and it's okay to be done,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you could be doing all the quote right things to build a business, but if you're not happy and you'd be happier working for somebody else or doing something, then go for it, because you know, you only live once, and don't get so attached to, you know, your ego that you have to keep doing something that you don't enjoy and makes you miserable.
That's good. You know, I had
a buddy at $4 million company, and he was like making shit tons of money in his pocket. This is years ago. And he woke up one day and he's like, I want to coach baseball. And,
right.
you know, he had a teaching degree and stuff, and he went and got a couple other certifications, and he went and got a PE job, and he started because he wanted to coach baseball. And he ended up coaching, you know, college baseball and stuff. And now he's happy. He's happier than he's ever been. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. So nobody's saying that you have to build a business. I love the thrill of it. I love the challenge. I love the, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I played football and stuff. Like my fondest memories were, I don't really remember the games. I remember practice, the weight room, and all those different things mm-hmm. with the guys and stuff. And that's where my happiness was.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're not enjoying the process of getting better, enjoying the fight a little bit and stuff, then, you know, that's okay. You know,
yeah.
Be honest.
And you kind of have to, getting hit is part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can you be a fighter if you don't enjoy getting hit every once in a while? You know, I think I relate it to surfing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up surfing my whole life and surfed at a collegiate level and competed, and I've been in some sketchy situations surfing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's almost like that's what makes it what it is, you know, it gives you like this thrill and this glory of being a part of it. And it's, there's like, I almost drowned. Yeah, I got pounded, you know, or whatever the situation is. But it's part of that experience. And it's, you know, I find that entire process is what I find joy in. It's not just riding the waves and having a good time. It's like, I get to experience those
mm-hmm.
things that so many other people won't experience surfing, you know?
Well, think about it with your team, right? Like, you know, we've all done those projects where we get our butts kicked, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I underbid it. The client was a pain in the butt. You know, we didn't pre-plan the job as well as we could have, you know, and what do? We usually like get all pissy about it and this and that. I think, and this, I know this is hard. So this is, but I think in my ideal state, I'm pulling the team together and I'm going, dang, we're getting our butts kicked on this one. This is not the way we plan. We got like two more days on this thing, guys. Let's rally together and finish this thing strong, and we'll have a cool story to tell later on.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
know, like
We
do what you can to unify your team and just go, hey, we're in this together. You own your crap with them. You know, most employees, when jobs go bad, they're in the doghouse, right? And it's like, and I'm not saying like if you have consistently underperforming employees and stuff, but when something goes wrong, you know, just go, hey, we learned some lessons here. If we could do this job over again, how would you approach it? You know, I know I would bid it differently in this part of the job and blah, blah, blah. So let's just get better together and move on and laugh about it later on. And I mean, I have a job. I talked about my book where I charged 28 grand. It was in my first year of business, and it cost me $45,000 to do it.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, which means I should have charged 90 to 100 for the job. Mm-hmm. And I lost my tail, and going through it was horrible. But now I talk about it in the book. I make jokes about it. I laugh. It's kind of like a lot of the things that I help contractors all around the world with right now were born out of that project at Bill's house that about killed me, you know? So I just think, again, it's reframing, just going, all right, sometimes, you know, like a fighter, right? You get in the ring, sometimes you get your face kicked in, you know, and other times you end up with your hand up in the air, you know? It's just,
yeah.
So have some fun with it.
Yeah, I like that you kind of, like that point, I think brings that full circle. It's like, if you're not happy doing it, maybe that's where you realize like this isn't for me, and it's not like what you're built to do. I actually love Gary V, because Gary V talks about that all the time. He's like, you know, so many people you know, think that it is only about the money, and I mean, that's important, but you also got to be happy. If you hate what you're doing, you know, then maybe you shouldn't do it.
If you're not, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's me. Like, I, even though having my own business is difficult and there's challenges that come with it, and I fail sometimes and I make dumb decisions, it's like, I enjoy having my own business. I enjoy the challenge of having to learn from my mistakes and having to, you know, constantly be working on myself and constantly working on my business to make it better. And that's like the thrill of it for me. And, you know, there's probably guys out there who wouldn't enjoy that. They'd be like, this is awful. Why am I even doing this?
Listen, if you're unhappy and you've not been doing what you know you need to do to build your business, I would say take action and do the things you know you need to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, do your part before you judge your happiness, because you might be miserable because you're just not winning the way you want to win, right? But if like you're showing up and you're doing the things that we've talked about, and you know you're making some progress and trending in the right direction, you're still not happy, then I think that's a good indicator. But a lot of our unhappiness is because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when there's things I know I'm not doing my best in, I'm miserable. My confidence is low. I'm not proud of myself. I'm not happy. So fix that shit first and then judge your happiness, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. I did want to ask really quick. You said you're in the Marine Corps. You didn't happen to ever get stationed out at Camp Lejeune, did you?
Nope, never been there.
Oh, okay. That's where I grew up.
I was West Coast Marine and other parts of the world and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I lived in, I don't know if you're familiar with, I grew up in Emerald Isle, North Carolina, which is just north of Camp Lejeune. But I've had family members that served in the Marines at Camp Lejeune and stuff like that. But cool, hey, man. Tom, I appreciate it. Is there anything, like a final point that you'd like to leave for my audience on how they can win in the fight, get off, like I said, we want to help them get off the ladder, get out of, you know, being in their business and work on their business? What would be like a final thought that you would leave with them?
Go all in on you. Okay. Go live the type of life that you can trust yourself, right? Confidence is built when we honor the commitments that we make to ourselves. Just start there. I don't care if it's, I'm going to, you know, get up at a certain time. I'm going to work out, you know, eat certain things. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to raise my prices, you know, 20% right now. Like, just take the action, honor those commitments. And what you will see happen is that the snowball will start to build. I think that's as basic as we could put it here.
Nice. Now, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, is interested in joining the contractor fight, whether that's your coaching or just the services and that you offer, how would they do that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You can go to thecontractorfight.com. And if they wanted to talk about how we can help them and grab a call with somebody, they can go to thecontractorfight.com/help.
Awesome. I know on your website, you also have your book. I would recommend anyone to read that and check that out.
Yeah, you get it for free on the website. Just pay shipping and handling. Go to thecontractorfight.com and it pops up there on the homepage somewhere. So
that's awesome. And also go, if you're listening to this and you're not already there, go on to Facebook and you can join the Contractor Fight community group. I know when I first joined, one of the first things you had to do is
on your crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that still a
Facebook
thing?
Facebook called that bullying and they were going to shut our group down. So I'm not allowed to do it anymore because of Facebook. And, you know, when somebody says I'm not disciplined and this and that, and we're making them do that to enter the group, we were harassing and bullying. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That's a travesty. Well, that's a huge thing. You do have to own your crap to win. And so, Tom, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
To my listeners for joining in on the Off the Ladder podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. We will see you next time on the next episode of the Off the Ladder podcast.